Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Albert and the worship team. Let's give them another big hand clap. Glory be to God. Yes, they did a fine job. I'm the one who messed them up a bit. Yeah. But Jesus died for all of us. Glory be to God. Yes, thank you for being here. I thought I had prepared what I was to preach. I thought by the time I went to bed last night, I was sorted. Actually, by last evening, I thought I was, you know, I had prepared, you know, by before the early kickoff. By the time I went to sit in front of the screen, you know, I was done with, you know, preparing for today. Then at around 8 p.m., I sat down at the table, things changed. Okay? Then I slept, I was like, sorted. I woke up in the night at 3 a.m. again, you know. Then this morning, things changed again. Okay? But the message is still the same. It was just which scriptures to use, how to arrange them, what comes after the other. And I thought about the worship team, the things of which song comes what? Glory be to God. Amen. No man, you remember in our days, those things of, you know, the second song, it should be a greater glory. The third song, you know. Yeah. So that's what I was trying to do, to see how things flow in a logical sense. Sam and Juliana, they avoided to use the word Easter this morning. Okay? Deliberately. Resurrection Sunday, you know. I think it's because they went to Bible school, and they read that Easter, the word or the name Easter is derived from, you know, some goddess of fertility called Ishtar. All right, Ishtar. And he was worshipped, in that part of the world. And even the children of Israel, when they entered Egypt, when they entered the promised land, they kept going back to her, the so-called Ashtoreth, you know, And the goddess of fertility. And that's why there are those things of Easter eggs, You remember? Okay, eggs, fertility, and then Easter bunnies, You know, That whole nonsense, So, probably that's why Juliana wasn't saying Easter. She was saying what? Resurrection Sunday. Yeah. Now, but the whole period should actually be known as what? The feast of the unleavened, according, Gentiles, we Gentiles, guys twisted stuff. Okay? Instead of celebrating what was supposed to be celebrated, the Jewish holidays, the Jewish feasts, guys, they deleted, what is in the Bible, and they added in their own things. Okay? All right? So it is sad. In fact, I think it is the old KJV where somewhere in Acts, the word was supposed to be Passover. Guys deliberately put the word Easter. I think it is the KJV, somewhere where it is Passover, but guys deliberately removed the word Passover, and what? Fixed in Easter. But some versions have tried to correct that. All right? Basically, it is that whole thing of what? God gave up on the Jews. They crucified Jesus. So God left them, you know, eh? Okay? Abandoned them. Okay? And hence, that whole thing of what? People hating Jews. Eh? Okay? It was, the church was majorly, or is majorly, the cause. Eh? All right? They will never get back their land because God abandoned them. They crucified the Lord. That's why they had to throw out Easter, all those who passed over, the atonement, throw them out. Glory be to God. That's why you find Christians who still hate Jews. They don't want Jews to be in the what? Okay. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 1 to 15. Yes. This is where this whole thing of... anyway, what we're talking about, the Resurrection Sunday, the Passover, all the things, they're taken from this scripture. The Lord, in verse 1, it says that, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.'" Of course, you all know the lamb here is talking about Jesus who was to come, the Messiah, the Savior. Verse 4, "And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, okay, or the first year." Okay? I didn't know that a sheep, 1 year, it is a mature, it is not these things of what? Mary had a little lamb. This was not a little lamb. Just because to you, a 1 year old, human, is really, For the lambs, that's not the case. Glory be to God. So, Joe, and I hope those kids down there haven't sung that song today. Mary had a little lamb. Glory be to God. Okay? "So your lamb shall be without blemish, a male or the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Eh? George, I don't know if you know, if the Arabs. Anyway, verse 7. "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and on the what? And on the what? Lintel or lintel? Lintel, I guess it is. Eh? Like the cross. Eh? You understand? Eh? Okay? Then... Yes, "and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire." All right? It had to be what? Roasted. Was symbolic of, the judgment that God was going to place on Jesus for your sake, because of your sin. All right? "And they shall, so they shall eat the flesh on that night roasted in fire with unleavened bread." Okay? Unleavened bread, like we shall see in the scriptures. Unleavened bread is bread without leaven. Okay? Unleavened is symbolic of sin. Eh? All right? "So they shall eat it with unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire. All right? Its legs and its head and its what? Entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Okay? I think in Uganda or vernacular, they call it Pascha. Eh? All right? So you can see, the vernacular guys got it right. Because their translations were from the original, you know, scriptures, you know, the original. Okay, that's why they called Passover, Pascha. Glory be to God. So when you find what, like Juliana's mom today, she'll tell you, Lelo Pascha. Glory be to God. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn. Who will strike? God will strike. Okay, he's the one who commanded that the lamb is burnt with fire. It wasn't the devil. Alright? So God is going to strike. It's not the devil. Alright? We're symbolic of, you know, his wrath. Eh? Okay, that he unleashed on the Lord for our sake. So he said, for our path through the lands of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both male and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I'll execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Glory be to God. When I see the blood, I'll do what? I will pass over. I won't strike you. Glory be to God. This is why we are born again. Okay, we accepted the Lamb, that is Jesus, who was slain for our sins. Okay, so we trust that his blood covers us. Okay, and it cleanses us from all sin. Okay, people who are not cleansed by the blood of Jesus, okay, this striking, okay, I hope it sounds real horrible, eh? Yeah, because it's a truth, eh? This striking by God awaits them. Okay? And by the worst striking is going to befall people who were once born again, and they departed from the Lord. That's what the scripture says, that worse judgment awaits them. Alright? But there are two ways to depart from the Lord. Number one, you can just say, you know, like you can just switch gods. Okay? You're like, be with them. You know, I've left the Lord, now I'm on my things, I'm on the devil or whatever. Number two, the way you can do it, you know, is to be a practitioner of wickedness. All right? You're saved. You haven't thrown out the Lord, but you practice evil. Eh? Evil is your thing. Eh? Okubinga, what? Of course, that one is not saved. So there's judgment coming upon him if he didn't get saved. All right? All right? However, if someone gets saved and they are practitioners, they practice lawlessness, eh? All right? They willfully sin without remorse. Eh? They're not struggling with sin. They're not struggling. They are happy there. All right? But they are born again. Okay? Even them, the scriptures are so clear that they are also going to experience the wrath of God. Glory be to God. Okay? But that shouldn't be us. Amen? Okay? So it says, so, this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. All right? Bread without leaven. Okay? Leaven is symbolic of sin. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. So that is again symbolic of Christians, okay, the spiritual Jews, all right, who are into, they love sin, all right. What befell these natural Israelites being cut off will also befall Christians, okay, who, you know, who delight in sin. Glory be to God. But like I said, that shouldn't be us. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, like I wrote in the words for the week, you know, getting saved, okay, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, the most important thing about it is spending eternity with the Lord. All right? Spending eternity with the Lord. Of course, which begins now, okay? The Lord comes into your heart, you know, he dwells in you. You relate with him anytime you can approach the throne of grace. All right? And then there are other things, of course. The natural things which he gives us, healing or the body provision. All those things are provided for in the atonement. All right? Yeah. However, the other thing of it is when we accept the Lord as elders is we're not going to hell. Now, to be honest, anyone who's spiritual, the emphasis should be on the first one. Okay? Spending eternity with the Lord. The positive thing. Okay? But to be honest, for me, usually, what motivates me to continue walking with God, all right? What makes me want to, you know, to delight in sin is this thing called hell, being in hell forever. Okay? Being in hell forever. All right? Of course, it's better to meditate on spending eternity with the Lord. Do you understand? You know, pure delight. Okay? Forever and ever and ever. All right? That is the most important thing. However, for me sometimes, and I don't think I'm the only one, this thing called being, and you know that fire, you never die. The Lord says, you know, where the worm doesn't what die, it's not consumed. You're burning forever and ever and ever. You understand? For me, man, that is usually, most often, that is what I'm thinking about. All right? There was a time when I never used to think about it. You know, when I was what? When I'd gotten messed up with that, with the doctrine of once saved, always saved. So I never used to think, I'm born, finished, you know, heaven, whatever I do, All right? And until, man, you know, I came across scriptures which say, man, be careful, You can end up there. Then, not only the scriptures, but I read experiences of people who went to hell. Have you watched a video of some guy? It's called 23 Minutes in Hell. 23 Minutes in Hell. You go on the YouTube. I think, you know, the guy, you know, God took him for 23 minutes in hell. That thing must have messed up. Anyway, it must have made an impression on that guy, because you can even see when he's talking about, you can even see his face. The guy who could is like, man, can see he's not joking. You know, as in kind of stressed while the guy talks, and it's bad. All right? It's very what? So, we shouldn't end up there. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, in Exodus 12, we have seen where Pascha comes from. All right. Pascha, Passover, and even Ben. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, from verse 7, it says, therefore, purge out, okay, clean out, throw out the old leaven. You remember? Okay. In Exodus, it says, the bread must be without leaven. So Paul is saying, he's telling the people here and he's telling us, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lamp, since you truly are unleavened. Okay, for indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Alright? Therefore, let us keep the feast. Which feast? The feast of unleavened bread, you know, which includes the feast of Passover. It says, therefore, let us keep it, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness. All right, there it is. Leaven, symbolic of malice, okay, wickedness, which is basically sin. But let us keep it with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Okay? Paul is talking to New Testament believers. He says, keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Basically, what he's saying is, there shouldn't be wickedness, okay, amongst us. You understand, eh? Okay? And he was writing to LAT. Glory be to God. Of course, he was writing to the entire body, you know. Those who were there at that time and those who would come like us. Eh? Okay? There shouldn't be malice amongst us. There shouldn't be wickedness. Alright? Jesus said that those who practice wickedness and righteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You remember in Exodus, okay, the children of Israel who would be found with unleavened bread, rather with leaven in their houses, during that feast. Okay? They were supposed to be cut off. Cut off. Okay? What that means, I'm not sure. Okay? But the whole thing is, they were no longer part of Israel. Alright? I know that it means death, be executed. But at least the point is clear. The point is made clear that they were supposed to be cut off, you know, from the commonwealth of Israel. Alright? And now this is what the scriptures are telling us to avoid. Now, let's read this 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let us read it from verse 1. And we see the context, what Paul was talking about. Alright? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 1 it says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles. Okay? Unbelievers. That a man has his father's wife. Okay? Sexual immorality between, intimacy between two people who are not married is sexual immorality. But now there's a worse one, man. This guy, okay, had an affair with his father's wife. Okay? Like Reuben in the Bible. You remember? Reuben, okay, with his father's wife, you know, a mother to his siblings. Okay? And because of that, by the way, the guy lost the birthright. The birthright that was supposed to be for the firstborn. Okay? Then he tells them, and you're puffed up, and I've not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Okay? Carol, last Sunday, you know, we talked about excommunication. This is exactly what the scriptures are saying. This guy okay, was supposed to be excommunicated from the fellowship, or from the church. But these fellows were not seeing anything wrong with it. Maybe they're like, you know, love him and he'll get saved. No, rather he will change those things. Love him, he will change. Paul said, no. You should have thrown this guy out. Because what he did was too horrible. And of course, he hadn't repented. Verse 3, for I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged. Although I were present, have already judged him who has so done this deed. Okay, here's the thing of what? Judging. Paul had what? Judged. Thrown a verdict. Alright? So there's a room for judging. Okay, there's something called righteous judgment. Alright? Then he says in verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together, along with my spirit. Okay? So Paul was going to be there, but invisible. Invisibly. But was going to be there. He said, when you gather together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan, as in throw him out of the church, for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He said, throw him out to who? To Satan. He said, but Paul, was Paul born again? How do you throw, you know, someone to Satan? You should send people to Jesus, to the Lord. Okay? But this is what it is. Throw the guy out of the church. And of course, when you throw him out, he's basically no longer under the covering of the church. Okay? He's being thrown to the devil. And of course, this was for his own good. Okay? Because when he's excommunicated, he's going to be alone, you know, no one is talking with him, you understand? People are ignoring him. Basically, he's ashamed, you understand? And he will repent. He will be like, man, Chenakola, it was bad, man. God forgive me. You guys, man, I've come back to, I'm sorry. Okay? But as long as they're still there, we are loving him, the girl, you know. But when you throw him out, he said throw him out, okay? And the result that Paul expected was that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord, all right? If you don't throw him out, he won't repent. He will continue practicing that gross sin and he will end up in hell. You understand? Okay, so help him before it is too late, before he dies, and throw him out so that he can repent, so that he's saved in the day of the Lord. Do you understand? So throwing out, okay, but I don't think there are many, have you heard of churches who excommunicate? They are there, but usually, you know, especially when they are small, every guy you get, you want to hold on to them. Okay? But excommunication is there, and it is for people's good. There was a guy here, like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, he was our friend, most of us. This guy, every person he was seeing, he has a prophecy. He was messing up the church, man. You know the guy. He was more a prophecy. And some guy used to ask me, but is that guy okay upstairs? And by the way, you could tell there was something wrong with him. Okay? Which, that wasn't his fault. Okay? I mean, if you're sick, it's not your fault, you understand? But however, you know, the girl, a prophecy for everyone, especially girls, man. You know, girls and men, I used to hear some of the things you would tell girls who prophecies. They were as in vulgar stuff, but the prophecy, you know. So I was like, you know, as a pastor, I was like, I need to get this guy out of LED. All right? I have to throw this guy out. Okay? And I think I'd warned him. As in, you don't have to give, you know. So now I knew which button to press. So that's what? He gets out. Okay? It was hard for me to officially excommunicate him. Amen. Because I rarely see those things, and I don't know how to do them anyway. Okay? Okay? And I'm not going to do them because you're all good people. You're not what? So I was like, this guy, but I knew the button to press. Eh? All right? Then he would excommunicate himself. So I remember I called two people. Anyway, I wanted to tell him with a bang, eh? You know, eh? So I called two people. I said, now, this guy is doing this and this and this. I want you to what? We talk to him to stop. But I knew he wouldn't stop. Okay, but I knew the moment he realizes that now he's an issue in the church, he will take off. Okay? He will say, the Lord has told me to leave. You know, so anyway, I called two people. I was like, you know, call this guy and talk to him. You know, as in the first person calling, then I was like, after that, now you, the second person also, call him. You know, aren't they two, eh? Real make this thing, what? Dramatic. So anyway, the first person called him. He's like, come, I need to talk to you. Then they called him. They said, now, this thing that you're doing is not good. Why? You're prophesying to everybody. You're messing up with people, eh? Okay? Then he told this guy, eh? Who first called him. He's like, the Lord told me that if I stop prophesying, he's going to punish me with over a 1 week fast. Fasting for 1 week, punishment. Now I can see stupidity, eh? Since when has a fast ever been what? A punishment? The guy told me if I stop, punishment. You know? The guy said, no, I'm not stopped, you know? Anyway, I was told that, you know, as of that, the guy appeared brave, like, you know, eh? Hey, like, okay? And so when they were done with that discussion, the other person, someone else was waiting for him also. Okay, so this second person told me that by the time he arrived, you can see he was like in fear. You could see he wasn't right, as in. But that's not the impression he gave the first guy. He was a macho guy. But I think when he exited the door, he was like, you know, things are bad. And so that person, I think, told them the same thing as in a man's story, you know. And anyway, okay, immediately the guy said he had heard the Lord telling him to leave LAT. All right? And when I heard that, I was like, that is exactly what I wanted. All right? Okay? Now, then I was told that he joined a church, and this church had my friends. The pastors were my friends. Okay? So now I was like, should I leave those guys to get messed up? Or I alert them that, you know, be, you know, as in watch out, you know, for this guy. So I was like, but the other church is not my business. You understand? It's not my business. Those are there. But I was like, and I thought about it. I was like, but at least, these pastors are my friends. You know, and this guy is going to mess them up, I don't know whether I did the right thing or not. I don't know because my only business is LAT. You understand? I don't, you know, if your sister is sinning, your brother, those are yours. If it's not in LAT, it's not my business. All right? That sounds bad, but it is the truth. All right? Okay? Those are not my sheep. You know, they're not my business. And so I don't know if I did right. But I called one of the pastors there, my friend. I told him, now, is this guy coming? All right. As in, you know, watch him, Bolonji. because he's going to make, as in, let him be there. Yes, I didn't tell him excommunicate, but I was like, watch him bulunje. Okay, then I think one of the pastors somehow hinted to him that we've been told about you. And the guy ran away from there. But I didn't excommunicate him. He excommunicated himself. Okay, we're verse what? 5. Okay, so deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. This thing of loving, and we change. Okay, there's something where God is like, no. Love him. Actually, he says, yes, love him by excommunicating him. It's love. Okay, that Satan may deal with him out there so that he can say, man, you guys have to go back at Monsoni way. I did wrong. God, forgive me. Do you understand? There's room for that. All right? But the grace of God, yes, the grace of God is like fire the guy. You know, that's the grace of God. Because it's all about what? In the long term. Loving him, what? That is short term. You're not helping the guy. The guy is going to hell. So fire him. You know, deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Then he says, your glorying, you Corinthians, is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? As in a little sin can affect the entire church. You know, the guy said, if I don't prophesy, God is going to punish me with a fast. You understand? Now, do you know, believers are interesting. The guy can say that, and then some guys say, maybe that's why I'm broke. I'm not fasting. I'm not prophesying. I'm being punished. Then they won't ever turn the cry. So that's what? The punishment or the fast can end. Do you understand? A little living. Now, if you hear the prophecies the guy was giving women, girls, and somehow he used to, you know, pick out, you know, good-looking girls, women, anyway, you know, I was like, no, I'm a shepherd. I have to what? Get a way of throwing this guy out. When I was in Zoe, you know, when I was in the leadership, you know, long time ago, there's a guy, this so-called, most of you have heard it, he's called now he's called Apostle Goodwill Magezi. You've heard of that guy? The apostle of finances. Why, you know, you've heard of that guy, you know? That guy, okay, we're with him in Smack. He was a Muslim. He's called Ibra Cheyne. Okay, Ibrahim Cheyne, he was a Muslim, but he got saved on campus. He got saved. So, then years later, we linked up again. Then I introduced him to Elvis. We used to go with Elvis, so because of me, he joined our what? The clique. Alright? Then he became a nuisance. First of all, he was a thief. Do you remember that era of forex trading? Anyway, he was a nuisance. He was telling people things about the new age. How there is no God. You are God. Alright? He used to visit Zoe people at their workplaces, those who are working in URA at the time, at their workplaces, to tell them this new age thing, you are God. Why? You know, there's no. Okay? And he used to tell them that, and by the way, these things that I'm telling you, even Elvis believes them, but he has never told you. Of course, he was lying. So we got to know about all of what he was doing, he was stealing, you know, So I talked to Elvis. I was like, we need to kick this guy out of what? Out of the fellowship. He's messing up people and he's using your name. You know, because the moment you attach Elvis' name to something, people would believe. There are guys I know who would go to girls, chicks, okay, and tell them that Elvis actually said your mind. The moment you would just add Elvis to something, and the girls somehow, they had what? The ones I know had somehow like a direct line to Elvis. And they said, so they would meet him. And they say, now, the other guy told me that you said, Elvis, see you get angry. I'm telling you, there was circus in that place. So then we say, we need to kick this guy out. He's messing up people. He's using your name and people are believing it. So, I think I'm the one who devised how to, what to do. Okay. Again, there was no formal excommunication. Okay. But there was something we did. Okay. And it was me who executed it. And the guy took off. He ran away, disappeared. Until last year, Elvis brought back a guy who he knows has no remorse, he's a thief, he can do anything. The guy used to tell us that for him what matters is results. If witchcraft can produce results, you, Balokole, you're not producing the results. So don't whatever the other people. Bubarina, results. What matters is results. You also produce the results. Okay? So there are things he used to tell us. Nga is born again. Okay? So when Elvis fell, when now it was about robbing people their money, he knew who to call. A guy we had thrown out together. Now is a guy here who's splashing dollars all over the place. You know, Apostle of Finance. He's the one who's writing things in Observer. You know, a thief. You know, we informally excommunicated him and he took off. So there's room for excommunicating people, Of course, it is so bad that I've never gotten, those two guys, I didn't get the opportunity to excommunicate them well. Maybe I was timid or but Zoe, it wasn't mine. For me, I was just a helper. So, and that is what we could come up with. And it says, verse 7, therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lamp, since you're truly unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Okay? When this season, remembering what Jesus did for us, how the Passover lamb was sacrificed for us. Now this is our response. Our response is we should live lives that are glorifying to the Lord. Do you understand? Lives that are without living. Now there's no one who's perfect. You understand? There's something where you say you sin, but you don't want to, then you repent, and then you don't want to, you're not enjoying what you're doing. There's that, and God knows that. But this one of what? You are enjoying. All right? Enjoying sin, man. That is what God is against. And for such people, he says, excommunicate them. Okay? All right? Then, verse 9, he says, I wrote to you in my epistle. So now this is First Corinthians, Now, Paul is saying there's another episode which he wrote. Where is that episode? No one knows. It got lost. All right? But he says, because this is First Corinthians, but he says that I wrote to you earlier, but that letter is not in here. Anyway, that's a side note, for those of you who are Bible scholars like Carol. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world. Okay, your workmates in office, they are sexually immoral. Paul is not saying don't keep company because you're working with them. All right? He said, no, those are not the ones I was talking about. I was talking about So he said, yet I certainly did not mean the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Twitter nabo. You understand? Twitter nabo, eh? Alright? Then he says in verse 11, but now, I have written to you, like to clarify what I mean. I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, who is sexually immoral. Alright? Not to keep company means excommunicate them. You understand? Those who are enjoying it, they are, you know, they are, you know, eh? He said, excommunicate them. Eh? Okay? Remember, it's talking about unleavened bread. Eh? Okay? Or the covetous. Greedy people. You understand? They're greedy. He's like, throw them out. Say, but, Pastor, when churches get empty. Okay? Well, I guess what? I guess if you threw them out. Man, I remember many years ago, even before I got saved. Eh? Okay? When you tell someone that Lokoka, do you know what they will tell you? Say, man, sinatuka. Because guys knew that borokoka, as in the standard, as in things that the standards were high. You know, eh? Guys had that concept, eh? Which has been lost, eh? You know, eh? Over the years. You know, eh? Of course, there was the extreme also, eh? But there was a certain level of understanding that borokoka, you're supposed to leave Bulungi for the Lord. That's why guys say, man, you fast, you know, I can't manage. Of course, they, you know, they were supposed to know that it is by the grace that you live a righteous life. But anyway, but you see, there was that understanding. But now when they see, no, I'm local, no, I'm local, ah, I'm not going to go. You know, say, we have lost it, and it's a shame. So if people were excommunicated, all right, man, I think churches would even be more full when they were, okay, but no, but it's serious. But now people, you know, I had a friend, a roommate, okay, the guy, you know, I was his roommate, okay, before I got saved. And after I got saved for like 1 year, a Muslim guy, he was handsome, what? And man, girls in the fellowship, our fellowship, class of fellowship, were on the guy's case, a Muslim. I'm telling the truth, a Muslim. They even used to come to the room to like vibe the guy, what? When I'm there, a fellowship member. I'm telling the truth. So, in fact, he used to tell me, this guy used to tell me, he had this belief, okay? And many guys do, actually. Many men have that, what? Of course, they are wrong. But the guy had this belief that there is no girl who's saved. Of course, they were wrong. You understand? He was wrong. But anyway, because the guy is like, I mean, look, these girls, more than a form of fellowship, but they are on my case. You know, see, there's no girl. Men, yes, men get saved. But girls, they don't. Of course, he was wrong. Eh? All right? So, I don't, now, not just a sexual immoral, but covetous people are supposed to be thrown out. Living, eh? You remember? We're supposed to keep this feast, Passover, you know, without, he say, cast out the living. Okay, anyone who's caught with living in their house during that period, they were supposed to be cut off. And this is what Paul is saying. Okay, New Testament. Eh? By the way, I'm not excited to preach these things for your own information. You know, I'm not. Even when the idea came, I wasn't excited. I don't want to be the one who makes people sad on Easter, on Pascha. I'm not, you know. Supposed to be celebrating, eh? Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate, you know, eh? Now you say this, eh? I covetous people. Extortioners. People who steal widows' lands, man. Baloko le neba genda mu lands office, kira wachisoe, neba chusa title. You understand? And then they steal the widows' lands. Then they sell it, you know, 100 ma. Then they bring the pastor 10 ma tithes. And the pastor makes them the elders. Ah, well, those are serious givers. When you talk about what? The givers, use them as an example. Yet, the pastor, I think churches, well, I don't know. But they should have this thing of what? What is it called? This thing of declaring your source of wealth. Don't you think so? Because how would the poor in that days know that some guy is a thief? And if they were so close, the fellowship, the churches were so close, to be money, you understand? Where you come, they see you with a new donkey. What is it? Tuku money. You understand? Your father died, he was broke, that donkey. You understand? You have to come and explain whether some believer had a dream that they give you a donkey. You know, things were serious. Nikati wa no, we are all prosperous, but we don't know. You okay? Where Alan is getting his dimes, which he gives a pastor what? A car, you know. Do you understand? So don't you think we should what? You start that thing, you've just closed your church. But here, if I started it, most of you would keep here. You're not what? You're not thugs. Alright? Okay? Revilers, you know? Revilers. Musibaku Facebook reviling the president. Okay, the president, okay, you live here, but reviling your pastors, you know? Okay, drunkards. Okay, all these guys are supposed to be excommunicated. And it says, do not even eat with them. Glory be to God. Okay? I'm telling you, this is why people say that they don't see any difference between Abalokole and Abatalibalokole. People are doing the same things. Probably it's because people are not being excommunicated. You understand? If excommunication started, the real serious one, according to the Bible, man, people say, oh, your guy is Mulokole. This man is a Mulokole. That's why he hasn't yet we finished his house yet. Senga wali Mulokole, but you are an extortioner, what? You'd have finished that house long time ago. What did the other guy say? Some guy was giving a deal so that you can make a big cut. What? Then he said, Gwe is okay. Or what you have?
Toja kubela mgaga.
Gwe is okay. Toja, But then he said something else.
Okay, he said that Gwe is okay. Ogaga wala. Toja gaga wala mangu. But toja kubo mgaga, owe mirembe.
The girl's giving me a deal how to make a big cut in an illegal way, some jam. Then he said, well, it's okay. All right? Then he said, Major Gagawa, now it will take you a long time. But when you gagawa, you'll sleep well. Because most of these guys are thugs. They're not sleeping. All right? And I'm not planning, I'm not saying, well, the scriptures say people should be excommunicated. All right? You know, Passover, you know, without, you have to get rid of the living. If this, for example, if this chapter, just this chapter, is preached in churches, people would style up. They would realize them to be this serious. All right? Yeah, Okay, and like Paul said, it is for their own good. You throw them out, the devil harasses them, eh? Then they come to their senses. Okay? So that they are saved in the day of the Lord. Nekati, I'm telling you, we are churches. Eh? People are going to hell. Eh? And no one is helping them. Okay? No one is helping them by excommunicating them. Do you understand? But thank God I'm reading you the scripture. It's like that pastor, he has gotten off track. He has lost it. Yeah? Bible. People are going to hell. Yet they, if they were only excommunicated, they wouldn't go to hell. Hmm? Denise, isn't that so? Oh, I'm preaching legalism. Okay? You know, thank God I've read for you this. You go on your Pascha and go back and what? Get all your versions, the different versions. Eh? Okay? Say, why? You ever done some KJV, but the Greek, what doesn't say, what is it? Hmm? Glory be to God. You shouldn't eat with such people. You've seen it. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 2. It says that walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. When did he do that? On Passover. Pascha. Isn't it? Okay? As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness, all covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. As in what we've been poor about locally. You know, tibina kubai. Glory be to God. Alright, of course the other guy, it was too bad now. His father's wife. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking. Okay, you're the one sending what nude videos all over the place. Okay. You unsaved OBs and OGs feel very comfortable with you. When they come from abroad. Abroad, Dubai. When they come from abroad, December. Because I've been working the whole year now. December is a demand to spend money to be happy before they go back. Okay? When they arrive, man, you're the one they call. You're the one who knows the joints to happen. You're the one who knows what? Who has some guy's number, who has a club. So that you're not, they rent it and they close the door. That's what those guys do when they come. Eh? They go to a place, like the, what's Liquid Silk, they, you're not about renting. They close the door. Then they have a blast. So you're the one they call. Can you imagine? Oh, be, eh? Because, you know, they think you're what you used to be. And somehow you have, they know, yeah, you got saved now, yeah. But you're a good guy. You are a good what? Mulokole. You're not like Bali. Go watch your mulokole mulowenji. You understand? Eh? Okay, such things. Eh? Okay, it says what? Any cost jesting which are not fitting, rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You remember, you keep living in your house, you're supposed to be cut off from your people. Paul said people who are doing these things should be excommunicated. Again, cut off. Okay? And if you don't help them by excommunicating them, okay, ultimately, they're going to hell. They're not going to enter the kingdom. So help them quickly. Love them. Love what? Love them by excommunicating them. Okay. Hallelujah. This is the grace of God. You understand? The grace is like throw him out so that he can style up. Okay? If you keep him there loving him, what? carnally loving him, he's going to hell. So do you really love him? If you say yes, excommunicate. So this just shows you how serious practicing sin is. It's not a joke. God doesn't take it lightly. You understand? I'm not planning to excommunicate, anyone. But I'm just trying to show you how. Of course, if I get a dream, when Sam fell for the other deal, he called the guy again, Nekati. Eri deal you are in Gamba. Maybe your relatives are putting you on pressure. To demonstrate what? Prosperity. Hallelujah. So then it says, such people do not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Then he says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And he said, therefore, do not be partakers with them. The wrath of God, that wrath that was unleashed on the lamb, that fire that the lamb had to experience, he said, it is coming on the sons of disobedience, and you can be a part of them, by the way. Tebakulimba. However, don't be, partakers with them. You get the point? You get the point. Is this legalism or what? Thank God I'm not expounding. I'm just reading you the scriptures. Today I'm word best. Glory be to God. I am in the word, keeping the word. Kenneth Hagin used to say that. Keep in the word. I'm keeping in the word. There's no way you're getting me. Even when you come with Greek. For me, I'll come with Hebrew. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. From verse 26. It says, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful. With certain means for sure. Certain. It is for sure. There remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Fiery indignation, a certain fearful expectation. Now, recently, when I read that scripture, I was like, now I have a scripture for a dream. I think it was 2017 or 2018. That one. In this dream, she saw Elvis. Elvis. With a satanic Bible. And I think as he read anyway, he was shaking and was saying, I'm going to burn soon. I'm going to burn soon. So when I read this thing, here it is. A certain fearful expectation. He was shaking, saying, I'm burning soon. As in, I'm going to hell soon to burn. Now, when you know, now like me who knows a dream like that, do you see how, this whole thing of going to hell, I fear it. Sometimes when I go to work in what? In Sasa, where we're going to what? To build down them, what? Prayer, walking. One of the things as I walk and pray, God, help me to stay to with you, to stay with, because God, I'm telling the Lord that. Fear, now, Elvis, she dreamt it. Those days when the dream started, exposing him, and was shaking, I'm burning soon. Why is he burning soon? Because Elvis crossed a line, which the Bible says, for such people, they cannot be renewed again unto repentance. Seeing they crucify the Son of God, You know, eh? Because it was mature, eh? Too mature. And the Bible says such people, they can't come back. You know? Someone who's immature, if they depart, they can come back. Eh? But a certain level of maturity, so someone can say, ah, kati nze, sikena kufuka mature. Yeah. If you don't mature, you will be practicing what? Unrighteousness, and you will end up there also. I've gotten your scripture. I found it. I was like, here it is. Then I was like, my God. Fearful. So you don't go by how people like front or behave in public, like confidence, what you know, eh? Man, guys are in fear because they know what's coming. Do you understand? He's in fear, eh? Unfortunately. Yeah? There's a dream I had this year. Okay? There's a friend, an obby of mine from Smack, who passed away. It was called Wamala, eh? He passed away years ago, eh? Okay? Now, I had a dream. In this dream, actually, it was in, I think, December. Okay? In this dream, I was in the dormitory, you know? And I think I had to go for a graduation, my grad, eh? A grad party, a graduation ceremony, mine, eh? And I remember going in the suitcase to look for the gown. I looked for it, you know, eh? Then I got it, eh? Wrinkled. And now, and we're two in the dormitory with Wamala, eh? Wamala was, in the dream he had HIV. You know this HIV of the 80s, early 90s, before ARVs came, eh? Where, man, you get it within, as in where you just, man, you guys, eh? You know, you're all kids, eh? You didn't see that HIV. If you had seen it, eh? I remember I was a doc, well, a med school student. I saw those things on fourth floor. Eh? That disease was bad. Eh? And so in the dream, Wamala had that disease. Eh? And you see, God will make sure that I know it is the HIV of those days, not ARVs. And Wamala was in pain, you know, eh? And he was, and I knew that in a short while he's passing away. You know, eh? And I was like, now I'm going to leave him alone. I have to run for my grad. Eh? You know, eh? He's, you know, I felt so sorry for him, but I couldn't do anything. But he's going. You know, eh? He's going. In a short, you know, eh? So when I woke up, the Lord said, yeah, that dream exactly that. Eh? Okay, your friend, okay, Yamala. You know, Yamala, you understand? Eh? You can see God even plays on you. Eh? The name meaning is like Yamala. And he has this disease. And remember, in those days, of course, even but in those days, it was like, you get it, you're gone. You are gone. You are gone. You know, incurable. Okay? And God will say, yeah, he's going. And it is incurable. You understand? Incurable, he's going. I thank God that at least in the dream, it was so painful. I felt so, you understand? Eh? So let no one think that I rejoice about Bambi. Eh? You know, remember, this girl was my friend. Eh? Okay? Yeah, very sad things. Eh? Okay, now the only thing I think about, I'm like, if this happened to Elvis, who I knew, but I don't know of any person who had a closer walk with God than Elvis. I don't know any. I'm sure they are there, eh? But I don't know them, and I wasn't their friend. You understand? Eh? You are here, I know. Eh? You have a close, you know. But I don't know you. I'm not what? Your friend. You know, you understand? Eh? But I knew Elvis loved the Lord. Elvis walked with God. Eh? So if it happened to him, eh? Okay, I always tell God, if it happened to Elvis, who I knew, eh? It can happen to me. So I always tell God, my God, help me. You know, eh? Known to. You understand? Eh? Okay? Not to neglect my salvation. Eh? All right? But this says, what does this say? Okay, so, if we sin willfully, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Adversaries means enemies of God. People who are practicing sin. Eh? When you practice sin, you make yourself an enemy of God. You make yourself an adversary. Anyone who rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sacrificed a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Okay, willful sin. What you're doing, you are counting the blood of the covenant, the Passover lamb blood. Okay, you're counting it, that blood which by which you are sanctified. You're handling it like a common thing, and you are insulting the Spirit of grace. You think olimu grace, olimu chisa. You understand? But heaven is saying you are insulting the Spirit of grace. And counting the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus by which you are sanctified, you are counting it a common thing. You understand? Okay? It says that how much, you know, was a punishment do you suppose someone like that? By the way, there are degrees of fire in hell. I hope you know that. There are degrees of what? Just like in the kingdom, there are also hierarchies. Some guys will be, then other guys like me, okay, will be with close to Jesus, with Paul and Hagin and, you know, Okay? Then someone like who? Like what? Not Gwais, okay? Okay? Other guys, you know, they are what? Levels, Even in the tabernacle, the temple of Moses, there was the holy place. Then there was the most holy place. Levels. So even hell, it's like that. There are levels, degrees of fire, but it's all fire. So, see, guys who have never been born again, but Jacoba with their fire. Never know how I will say. Never be Zaniramu. Okay? Over never be Vanamu, you know, Okay? They are going to be in a worse compartment. Do you understand? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The Lord will repay sinners. Alright? People who are playing around with living. Alright? And it says the Lord will judge his people. This judgment is not a good one. It is for to unleash the wrath, which we saw in Ephesians 5. Okay? The wrath symbolized by the fire, you know, that burnt, roasted the lamb. Okay? Then he says, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I remember in my hyper grace days, there's a way in which we used to twist this, what? The scripture. The 31, the fearful thing to have. This way in which we used to twist it. You know, And we used to twist it well. But when you read the context, where it's coming from, man, you can't say this scripture is good. However much you twist it, if someone reads the preceding what? You know, the scriptures, this thing, this E. Say, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God when, if you have departed from him. Do you understand? Because remember, these guys were sinning woefully. Departed from him, you understand? Some are still saved, but they are practicing lawlessness, wickedness, living. They are playing around with living. They are okay with it. It's a man, for such people, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Because God says, vengeance is mine, I will repair. Glory be to God. Let's stop here. Eh? Hallelujah. But in summary, okay, Jesus shed his blood, okay, because he loved us, okay, he shed his blood to cleanse us, all right? So he loved us by shedding his blood to cleanse us from our sins. Now, we're supposed to love him back. How are we going to love him? In John 14, it says, those who have my commandments and keep them, they're the ones who love me. Do you know that scripture? Let me read it for you before you say that I'm preaching legalism. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Now, he loved us by giving himself a sacrifice for sin. Okay? Now, the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. Okay, how are we going to love him? By keeping his commandments. Getting rid of the living, okay, in our lives. Eh? If it is not there, let us keep it very far away from us. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, chapter 5 verse 15, that he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Pascha. Good Friday. He died. 3 days later, he rose again. And he did that for us. Now he says, let us live for him. Let us not live for ourselves. Giving in to our carnal desires. Fleshly desires. Okay? Everything, every scat you see, you're thinking about what? You know? Funny things, eh? Jesus said even that is sin, eh? Okay? If you just have it in your mind. Glory be to God, eh? Alright? Amen? I'm telling you, I think about it, and it scares me. My dream, Wamala, you understand, eh? It scares me. This is why I love these scriptures. And I can assure you, no one is going to take me from the literal meaning of those scriptures. Hallelujah. God is against sin. But we all sin. You agree with me, Miriam? You sin, don't you? Denise, don't you sin? Okay, we all sin. But God is against this enjoying sin. You don't say anything wrong. You don't say anything wrong. Man, that attitude is going to get you in trouble. Okay? If you're here, that is. Okay? But if we get to know, if Joan gets a dream that you're practicing sin, we shall help you. How? By what? Excommunication. For your good. So that you may be saved in the day of the Lord. Glory be to God. You've been blessed? Okay. Just take a minute. Just close your eyes. And take a minute and speak to the Lord concerning what you have heard. Yeah.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.